Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The landmark Supreme Court case, Loving versus Virginia, in 1967, barred states from banning interracial marriage. And a generation of American children born to a black and a white parent is the focus of a new four-part documentary series called The Loving Generation. It's out now on Topic.com. Directors Lacey Schwartz and Marette Mandefro explore the lives of biracial children born between the mid-60s and the mid-80s, including WNYC's Rebecca Carroll, who spoke with Lacey Schwartz about the series and about her own thoughts on The Loving Generation.
A lot of times I think the conversation around biracial identity is around individuals' identities versus having the conversation within a larger societal context and having a conversation where individuals who do in fact have one black and one white identified parent talking about their experience, but talking about it also in a larger context. And I think that's the important piece for me, is to analyze ourselves as not just these individuals who are in fact struggling with their own day-to-day experiences, but is actually looking at a larger context and not necessarily even answering the questions around it, but being able to ask them in that context.
And so you mentioned the sort of day-to-day struggle. I mean, I think that for me, I'm done struggling. Like I sort of spent a lot of time navigating what it meant to be of mixed race, but also clearly looking black, and then sort of coming to a place of just, I'm just black. And so when you mention the struggles, what kind of struggles did you hear or see in the series?
I'm kind of like where you are as well. I feel like, you know, I've kind of thankfully worked through my struggle and come to the other end. And sometimes struggles about identity, but also sometimes, you know, struggle is really about family, mm-hmm. as is my case, you know, and sometimes it is about race and sometimes it's about community, and it can be many different things. And in an ideal world, a lot of us work through this and get to a place where we're still on the journey, obviously, but the struggle gets easier. This series actually takes place with people reflecting on what was a struggle for them at various points. And obviously not everybody has the same struggles. I think for those of us like yourself, like myself, who have in fact really engaged with their struggle and come out the other end, there's some really important insights that come out of that.
These ideas that you and I have engaged deeply in, oftentimes our families don't. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could speak a little bit to your own personal experience with your family in this project.
Similar to yourself, I had two white parents. I still do have two white parents. And, you know, your interview really affected me in a very personal level because I think there's a lot of similarities. We both grew up in rural Northeast with two white parents, and we both biologically come from a white parent and a black parent. So there was a lot, I think, about your experience that very much resonated with me. And I think, you know, I made a personal documentary, and like yourself, I did a lot of work digging into my own story, my own family secrets, and my own identity. And I was able to connect with so many incredible people, including yourself, including Anna Holmes. Although many of us did, as we said, identify as being black, although not all of us, we really wanted to just include people who were able to speak in a very, very honest and authentic way about their own experience, have some historical context to add to it, and be able to analyze it as such.
You mentioned Anna Holmes, who is an executive producer of the series, and Anna recently wrote an op-ed for the New York Times titled Black with, parentheses, some white privilege. And it should be mentioned, because it really matters, that Anna, who is also biracial, is very light-skinned. She writes about proximity to whiteness and her ease moving among and around white people, and also that President Obama was likely buoyed in some way by his white family, and that's what gave him some of the confidence, if not all, to be president. So this piece in the Times talks a lot about and centers kind of whiteness and proximity to whiteness and what that does for us if we are biracial. What that points to is, for example, you know, I have two sets of parents, a black birth father and a white birth mother. And then I have two white adoptive parents. And because I look black and I also black identify, when I'm out in the world or applying for jobs or driving my car or whatever, none of that matters. My proximity to whiteness means nothing. But even more important, I don't want or need it to mean anything. And so, you know, my response has been, as a biracial person, to almost wholly divest from whiteness.
I cannot agree with you more about the fact that whiteness is centered and is fundamentally normative. And people of color in general, but certainly Black people, it's like every day, every moment have been having to center whiteness all the time in their lives and are just have to work through that and are just, many people are just done with that. And so how do you orient yourself as an individual to actually not have to, in fact, center whiteness? I completely agree with. And I think that that is a process. And one of the things we try to show in the third episode is that journey that some of our participants in this series actually went through of kind of coming of age in that and then moving past that.
One other point that Anna mentioned in her piece was that she grew up feeling a kind of ease in and around white people. And it made me think of when my son was probably 4 or 5 and we were in New Hampshire visiting my parents where I grew up. And my son turned to me and he's like, why is everybody white here? And I realized, and I sort of written about this and I wrote in a piece, you know, that I didn't find my people until I had my son. And my mom was really upset about that because she felt like, well, I'm your people, we're your people. And they're not. They are actually not, which doesn't mean I don't love them. It doesn't mean that they're not my parents. But in terms of my people, you know, I've never felt like white people are my people. I've never felt that kind of ease of proximity. I've always felt othered in certainly in my experience growing up. Do you feel an ease of proximity, an ease around white people?
You know, I mean, your question reminds me of like a you know, when Little White Lie came out, and my mother did do a lot of press with me around it. And she shared a story, actually, when we sat down with the New York Times to do our first story. And she shared a story, which I actually really appreciated, about the first time she ever heard me do an interview. I guess I had done some radio thing or something, and she was listening to it online. And I identified as being Black. And she talked very honestly about how it felt like a knife into her stomach. And she had never shared that with me, but she was sharing it honestly about how she at the time really actually like checked herself and realized that like I was something other than what she was. And it was like her awakening into that and having to work through that and really do the work. And I think one of the, you know, many things with the process of Little White Lie was I very much grew up in a family that kind of at moments said, oh, you're just like us. You're one of us. And they, I don't know if they were consciously talking about race or they were just, you know, being like, oh, your personality, or, you know, they weren't consciously thinking about it. But part of the process, I think, of doing that project, even off camera, was working with my mother around racial consciousness and gaining a racial consciousness that has been, I think, a very positive experience for the both of us. And because that is really the way I look at it in terms of, like, you, as you said, your mother being taken aback by your story, is that I think for my mother, she had to go through her own process of accepting the differences within between us. And I had to work through being able to have those conversations honestly with my family as well. Because, and you know, you and I, you know, I think partnering is obviously something you and I have talked about extensively as well, is like, how do we be who we are, mm-hmm. you know, outside of how we orient ourselves to our, whether it's our biological family or the family who raised us or to our partner, and just be who we are and have our identity be who we are, versus like in relationship to our parents or our partner or whatever it is. So I definitely feel you.
Lacey Schwartz, thank you so much.
Thank you.